That is so different in my Christian life now from my Christian life when I was under legalism. I never had peace. I had temporary peace as long as I was a good boy. As long as I could check out my list that I keep in my wallet of I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run around with girls that do, I don't wear lipstick, I don't go to movies, you know, whatever the list was. If I could successfully say that I did that, then I would have a measure of peace. But the problem was, we were also told that God knows your thoughts. Mwah. And he, you know, and he knows your motives. Mwah. And there was always this thing of this intense scrutiny by somebody who was perfect. And I would have to say I never felt at peace. The more honest I was about who I was and who God was, I never felt at peace until I came in through the Jesus door and all those scriptures we shared on Wednesday night, and I realized, wait a minute, in Jesus it all changes. He's in a constant posture of love toward me, and in Christ he's for me, not against me. He's not neutral. He's not sitting there saying, well, we'll see. Good luck with this whole Christian life thing. We'll see if you make it, buddy. Hope you make the team. No, he's not neutral, and he's not against me. He's for me. I think more people need to know that. I talked last Wednesday about people who are paranoid because they don't know what God's will is. And I've seen them cry, saying, oh, I just want to know what God's will is, but I'm just a little afraid I'm going to miss something. And I want to go, wait. God's on your side. He wants you to know his will. And I put on the list out there the fabulous scriptures that have transformed in me, because that used to be me. Philippians 2:13, which says, God is at work in you both to will and to do what pleases him. Meaning, if I want to do God's will, that's him. That's proof that he's in me. And the same God that's given me that desire to want to please him is the God that's going to give me what I need to please him. So it's a done deal. All centers around him. That's part of what this word peace means. It means that is not the good news of peace with God. I grew up in a church that the word evangelize, or to preach evangelistically, centered around a couple of statements. You filthy sinner, you are going to hell. And that was it. That's the gospel. That's not good news. It is true. We are filthy sinners. It is true. Without Jesus' intervention, we would be going to hell. But that's not the good news. The good news is that God is intervening because he doesn't want us to go to hell. Nobody's worked harder to keep people out of hell than Jesus. The good news is that God himself has provided a way. You don't have to be good enough. It's not about you being good enough. It's about Jesus being the door. He said, will you trust that I've died for your sins? Will you trust that I can make you acceptable? Place all of your weight on me, he says. Trust in me, and you're in. And don't worry about that doing the right thing. I'll work that out. I'll work in you and to found you. It's all news that the high when I ceased. Real Jesus and I realized put them to an end. Gospel and I escaped. Do you find peace? people dumped into a room responsive to your method. If you'd have told me, Center, you're going to months earlier that there are not too many people Christians, I would have done hearing that. Because I thought not still be happy or be Christian. The rest of the story, that people don't even want to hear that they're, you know, you don't know what I promise you unless they're good thing we're at peace with God. But did not understand not telling them the gospel at all. Like I said, a lot of being a Christian, as far as I was concerned, raised in that church, wasn't just about how you got saved, it's how you stayed saved. Because now, you know, he's watching you. And he knows your thoughts. And I'm dumped in a room full of people who did stuff I never would have dreamed of doing. And now they're sitting here and they're praising Jesus. That offended me at first. I thought, what right do you have to praise Jesus? Well, they had actually the same right to praise Jesus that I did, and that's that we were forgiven sinners. But see, I didn't think my sins were as bad as theirs. This is why churches close their doors to some people. Yeah, my sins were, you know, they're sort of bad, sort of icky, you know, icky sin. But, you know, thank God I'm not as bad as them. And, Jesus told a story about that, didn't he? Remember he told for the benefit of the Pharisees who were ticked off that the good news was being preached to notorious sinners? And Jesus told the story of the tax collector, his boo, to the Jewish mind, standing in the temple, and right next to him was a Pharisee, and it said the Pharisee was talking to himself, praying to himself, I believe is the exact phrase. And he was saying, oh God, I thank you that I'm not a rat like other people, and especially like that guy over there, that tax collector. And the tax collector wouldn't even look up. He's just sitting, hitting himself on the chest, and he says, oh God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said the most startling thing. He said, one of those two people went home justified before God. And it wasn't the Pharisee. It was the tax collector who asked for mercy. It all depends on who I want to be justified before. And they really weren't. And I remember reading McDonald, where he's by George MacDonald's quote. It was a book of his fabulous quote. And Germans, well, there are some people who are out of the kingdom walls, who are closer to God, who are of God, than to the kingdom of God. They've been in it. People who think that 20 years, because they think the church, the kingdom of God, because they go, or because of what, or because they've sworn substances, and are not circumspect. They have how certain never humbled themselves to the real, never humbled them. They need a savior. They read God, their rest. They were their entrance, may. That's their God. And there are other people who are a lot closer to it because they know they don't deserve to go in. And once they believe the message that, hey, Jesus made the way, come on in, buddy. Jesus said, you come to me and there's nobody I will turn away that comes to me. I'm getting a lot of mileage out of verse 17, aren't I? He came and he preached the good news of peace to people who were far away and to people who were near. Equal access is what verse 18 talks about. And I want to talk about this word access. It's actually the title of our study today. Through Jesus, that's the important phrase, through him. Not through a belief system, not through my doctrine can beat up your doctrine, not through good works, through Jesus. Period. We both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Many times I've taught on this word, and once again, as happened to me frequently, I'm realizing I've been pronouncing it wrong for years. The word access, prosagoge, is the word, prosagoge. It's used a couple of other times in Scripture. My favorite place that it's used is simply because of the verb tense. It's the tense that surrounds the whole phrase. Is in Romans 5:2, and I think last week I told you to write down Romans 5:2. this verb, the verb form of this word, means to enter a harbor and find a safe berth in a storm. It's a nautical term. I was thinking most of our sailors are not here today. There are a few of us that have, you know, Paul's a boater, and Tony and I and a few others. You know, the great relief when you find a hurricane hole in your boat and you come in some, I know where they all are along the coast. A place that you can duck out of the storm. Even big boats have to do it. I read last week that the largest sloop-rigged boat in the world found a hurricane hole just up by Belfast, because when the hurricane was coming through, they were running for cover. They've got all the best gear, all the best satellite navigation, and all that tell them was, you need to find a safe place. We did a special study about this from Romans 5:2, because it says that we have found that safe harbor. We have gained access, is the phrase. And the verb tense there, it has to do with, it's the perfect tense. It means, correct me if I'm wrong, a past action with present and continuing results. We have gained access into this place of grace, this safe harbor. What Paul says here is we have access, and that verb tense is present indicative active, which means it's action which takes place while the speaker is speaking. It means you have access to God, to that safe harbor right now. I have access to God, that safe harbor right now. It bothers me when I see people that are distant from God because they feel too dirty. Oh, I can't come close to God. I'll clean things up first. There's an old Irish hymn, one of my favorites. I was going to record it at one time before on my last album, which never got recorded. It says, come you sinners, poor and needy, lost and ruined by the fall. And the second verse says, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Lots of people like that. Oh, I'll clean up my act first. And I want to say, well, that isn't going to give you easier access into the harbor. Just run for the harbor, because you will be welcomed and it will be a safe place. And I love that phrase. Both of us, both people who were clueless about the historical Jehovah, both the people who were excluded from the promises because simply there were Gentiles and they were raised not knowing anything about it, and the people who had the promises, had the history, and thought that they were as close as you could get, and they were still sinners. They still needed help. Imagine what it'd be like. We of us, you think that very few of us, unless you come out of something like Catholicism, you can't actually talk to God. Can't, but God, somebody, you can talk to someone, and they'll talk to God. And they talk to somebody, they'll talk to God for you. And who will talk to God? They can call God. Your secretary can call God's second word for you. They'll put in a good word for you. But anytime we want to talk to God, anytime to Him, we have access to that. It's hard to grow up with that. Understand how privileged that is. It was privileged. And we have quite a few people. And we have quite a few people who've known what that was like. Who've never known church or thought it was about church. It was about, they thought it was about being good. I remember when Lily was little. It's hard to imagine Lily ever being little, isn't it? It looks like a grown woman. But I remember when she was really little, her favorite song was the second verse of Jesus Loves Me. You know the first verse. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The second verse says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes Him very sad. Yes, Jesus loves me. Do you know that that's true? Do you think He loves you less because you haven't been as good this week? I know some of you do, because I've talked to you. The point is that what Jesus has offered us in Himself is access to God at any time. If I stink, this is the difference between me now and the me before. The me before, first of all, tried to pretend I didn't stink or to blame somebody else for my stinking. You know, well, I would smell better if it wasn't for them. You know, they made me do this. What I know now is the more I stink, the more I want to run to Jesus, because I know exactly what will happen. He'll look at me, I'll run into his arms, and he'll say, "Oh, Bob, you stink. Come here. Let's hose you down." I'm going to borrow this phrase from me again, Monica. It's one of my favorite things I've ever heard anybody in our church say. She said, before I knew the real Jesus, she said, if you'd have told me that Jesus was in the next room, I would have been afraid to go in. She said, now if you told me Jesus was in the next room, I would shove you out of the way or run right over the top of you. I would bust the door down to get in there. And I think, there you go. That's what this word access means. It means I see him as my safe harbor. Even if you're a sinner, absolutely, that's when it's most important. If you want to run into that safe harbor and hang on to your sins, that isn't going to work. But I tell you, it's interesting. It's an interesting mind game that some people get caught in. The devil lies to them, and they say, oh, I just want to be right with God, but I know he wouldn't receive me. And I want to say, stop right there. Because if you want to be right with God, that's the proof that he will receive you. Because that thought didn't come from you. That's him. That's him tugging at your heart. So we both have access. The ones that were far away, the ones that were near, we both have right now. Remember the whole story of the veil in the temple that we looked at in the Gospels of at the moment that Jesus said it's finished, and at the veil, that thing that says that the veil, that presence of God from every human, God from every human once a year, the high priest was dear. It's top to the, from the top. I tell you, the Bible is a book of deep. The Bible is, the fact that it's the, from top to, was torn from top, it kind of, it really signed. Example, you'll have peace when you do believe it. It'll change the way that you live. Oh, I can, so many stories I could tell you about lists of people that are not allowed to go to church. There was a time in my life when I have been met at the door by a few people who would not let me in to their church. Directly. Phone calls. From people who are foreigners and they try. Don't boast. Don't embarrass yourself. You are fellow citizens with God. We will not let you. Along with God's, it's about the farthest people that have been that you could possibly. Now you're part of the same from what Paul, the same king, you're not second posture. That was an interesting thing about a Wednesday night Roman citizen. When you became for us, then it didn't matter. A Roman citizen. In other words, became a citizen. The logical act with all of the other citizens. I think it refers to everything makes great in so far of his other about scriptures. It's the next phrase that gets me. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. If you could see the really old notes in my Bible, because I've had this study Bible for a long time, some of the oldest faded notes say, you are not staff, you are children in God's household. You're not the servants in the sense of not being children. You've been brought in as children. Remember in chapter 1, John said, to as many as received Jesus, he gave the right to become children. One of the most common pieces of God's children folklore out there, I don't know where it came from, it's not biblical, is that all of us are God's children.